Comic Timing
is a proud member
of the Comics Podcast
Network, bitch.
Welcome to episode 58, part B427, period 3, equation number 7 of Comic Timing, a podcast network, comic podcast thing, one after time, comic, all right, whatever. Yeah, it's day 2 of MegaCon. We're doing a wrap up here. Yet again, Raph wants to do his little theme. Alright, fine. Join yet again in person by the co-host on Skype-ified Brett Cassina. Apparently he enjoys transforming into Megatron.
Soundwave likes it very much.
Megatron! Okay, that... It's amazing. I can do that better when I have a sore throat. It's amazing. But, yeah, my voice is terrible right now. Also joined by Brandon Christopher yet again. What's up, Brandon?
What's up, homies?
For shizzle?
My nizzle?
Can't play that.
Damn right. Yeah, okay, yeah. Brandon's decided that he can no longer play the race card as he is a geek and he's at a comic convention.
Race card denied.
Exactly. Also joined by the no longer just the only Asian in the room, Raph Suhu.
Hey, how's it? Boom.
Damn it, we lost him again. That joke never gets old.
It's so good, even Mandy's laughing.
And let's all say hello to Mandy here. She's been following us around all day. Everybody say hi to Mandy.
Hello, Mandy. She's been following around us all day. Say
hello. Hello, hola. Exactly. All right, so day 2 of MegaCon is over and done with. So first off, now that Brent has actually been to the con, he can actually have an opinion about the con. How's it different from last year so far? Fuck you. Give me some real thoughts.
It was good. It was in the different convention center. We're in the South Concourse this time. Last year it was in the west, that way you don't have to kill your arm there, see? And it was different. I thought the space was a little bit bigger, but from last year it hadn't really enlarged that much. I thought they had like the same amount of space. The aisles were the same width, pretty much the way it was last year. It's pretty much laid out the same too. I mean, you had like a first row of vendors last year, just like they did this year. And then two rows in, they had all the big name artists. They had the same banners and stuff like that. Maybe they changed the names and stuff like that. But other than that, I mean, compared to last year, it's pretty much the same. It's just across the street. And the old convention center, like, the roof looks just as ugly as that one.
Well, you know, surprisingly enough, I wasn't really staring at the roof that much while I was there. Go figure.
Well, you would always call me and be like, or I'd call you and be like, hey, where you guys at? Oh, we're in the 500s. And then I got to look up to the banner and be like, oh, yeah, over there. Okay.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, I'm enjoying it mostly just because, I mean, it's great having such a huge artist alley to go along with the all the different vendors that are there, and you know, so far so good on that. I'm really enjoying it, and also I spent way too much money in the artist alley yet again, but we'll get to that. You said it's basically the same size as it was last year, not much of a change in that.
Yeah, basically, it's pretty much the same size, I thought.
Yeah, and as this is going on, we're making ridiculous faces at everybody, which is probably a good thing. And yeah, exactly. The paparazzi is taking pictures. Mr. Suhu, you have something to say?
My parents are dead.
God damn it.
Okay, great. Terrific. He's already slipped into Batman mode, and we're about 5 minutes into the episode. Now, also, I believe we found Raph's new addiction over the last couple of days. These little playing card type things that you seem to have collected at least 87 of the last couple of days. Explain yourself. And do not say, my parents are dead, or I will hit you with this microphone. No. All right.
I wasn't going to, but no, I actually have 872 of these. They cost $50 each, and I am in debt until 2,543. No, they're little like sketch card things. They're like $6 for $5, and I picked them up. I also got a whole bunch of prints today that I wanted to get yesterday. I also got this pigeon sketch of Juggernaut getting punched out by Superman from Derek Fish, and I also got Tom Zoller a Phoenix. Yes, it was a Phoenix, and I'm still going on, and I'm Batman.
He just had to do it at the end, didn't he? Well, of course your sketch was bitching at the Juggernaut, because he's the Juggernaut, bitch! Jeez.
Wow, While we're on the sketch cards, I just have to say, I was looking through what he got, and there's one by Ambruson. Is that who this is? Anderson? What says Ambruson on the... Anyway, it's Captain America throwing his mighty shield. But what's unusual about this card is that the face on this card, maybe Raph will scan it later so you guys can look at it and listen to what I'm talking about. His face looks like George Perez, right? Doesn't that look like a George Perez face?
Yeah. Actually, in fact, that actually looks like George Perez's face. Just
No. I mean,
no.
His style.
Yeah, it looks like his style, yeah.
All right. So we got his face, but then this guy's like aping Rob Liefeld's anatomy at the nether regions, if you will. It looks like Captain America's wearing really loose pants in the nether regions and some like really big boxers because his balls are hanging in the card. Will you verify this for me?
When Captain America throws his mighty ball sack.
Not only are his balls hanging, he's got Beyonce's ass on here. Right? Am I right?
Yeah, dude, that is tone, all right? I've never seen Captain America with a more tone ass than that. And the pose itself is just not very possible. Other than that, it looks perfectly fine.
It's not only not very possible, it's not very straight looking. I mean, it looks like Captain America's going, "Hey, here's my shield."
Hi, Steve.
Hey guys, I want to catch my field.
Oh, and to think, Brandon does that voice so naturally. I mean,
you did call me hot last night, right? So you know.
You know how I know you're gay?
Why? How do you know he's gay?
He doesn't. He's gay.
Oh wait. How long did it take you to think of that one there, Raph? Huh?
Wait. Is that why you guys make him sleep on the couch? Is that really the real reason?
Yeah. Who wants the door closer privacy now?
Oh! Look out.
I have brown eyes.
Ugh, Jesus. But, yeah, anyway, Raph, what... Raph. Oh, and this is all staying in, baby. All right, here we go. Raph, what else you get today, man?
I also got a couple pictures of some people.
Pictures of who, Raph?
There is a couple of Spartans beating the shit out of an immortal. There's a couple of guys shooting Ash in the head, which Ian absolutely loves. Because if you don't know, he works at Pokemon. Yes.
This would be Ash from Pokemon, not Ash from Evil Dead, just to make that perfectly clear.
No boomstick.
Yes, or Joker size.
Yeah, no boomstick. If this is this, he had a Pokeball and he said, "Why? Why?" Yeah, there was some good Justice Leaguers. Oh, there's a great Starfire. And I'm still looking for Molotov Cocktease. I'm still trying to find her.
Cocktease?
Yes.
You just said Cocktease. I hope you realize.
That's her name, Molotov Cocktease. You don't watch Venture Brothers?
No, I don't.
Oh. You gotta watch Venture Brothers.
It's okay. We won't hold it against... Yes, we will. Watch fucking Venture Brothers.
Fucking Daily Show when I'm not talking to you at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I agree.
Brandon Christopher, always the level-headed one, except for when he's not.
I'm sorry, it's Brent with the win for that one.
All right. Well, that'll work.
Back all day today.
Mwahaha. And, Brandon got a couple more things, didn't he?
I got more debt than Raph right now.
Yes, you do, but how'd you get the debt, first of all? You got a lot of sketches today, man.
Yeah. I spent, not so much on sketches, because they're all pretty freaking cheap. But today, I got myself a Tom Z Arrowhead sketch, which looks amazing. A Stargirl sketch, and... two sketches by the same artist, one a Wonder Girl and one an Impulse. And I picked up 50 Cent books because they're my crack.
50 Cent, you can find me in the club, Bottle of Bud.
And I almost picked up some Nelly dolls because they were $2.
Yeah, it's great. This one guy who's been selling a bunch of really cheap-ass toys for $2 says almost everybody who comes there sees the Nelly doll and is literally just like, you know, oh... Raph feeling up his Superman here, which is just like he does every single night before he goes to sleep, but it's really disturbing. It really, oh, fuck you. And,
no, thank you.
Oh, dear God. It has begun. But, all right. But let me just finish my point before you start making any more lewd comments. This guy says people come to the booth, they're $2 a piece, the toys, they see the Nelly dolls, and they're compelled to buy them, even if they don't even like Nelly. It's like, this is a Nelly action figure. I've never seen this before in my life. I need to own this for $2.
Nelly the rapper?
Yes, Nelly the rapper.
Was that where I was looking for the books?
Yeah.
And you guys ran into me?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was not compelled.
Well, then I guess you're one of the few and proud.
Either. I was looking at the books, so...
What the hell just happened over here? Raph just threw them all down in a fit of rage, I guess.
I said the word orgy, and Raph gets up, throws his prints down and runs right out the window.
Well, I guess we know what Raph is truly all about.
My parents are dead.
Raph.
Hey, turn the mic off so you can hit him with it.
Yeah, you know what? If Raph says that one more time in this episode, I'm revoking his mic privileges. It's just over. It's done with. Oh, great. They're well, you're holding in your hand a bunch of prints that you got. But anyway, let's finish what you were saying before you got rudely interrupted with the rest of your sketches. Or did you say them all?
I said them all. Just the my crack addiction of, 50 cent books getting really bad books like Titans and Impulse.
Well, they're not bad. What the hell, man?
They're not bad, but, they're really cheap. And also, Barry Ween, boy genius.
And I beat you to a certain something.
Yeah, fuck you, all right? Fuck you. Yeah, it was today. He fucked me over, actually. Really good today.
All right. I'm glad I met you guys at the con.
Explain.
Well, when I was a kid, I had a certain book by, Frank Miller. Yeah, Frank Miller, with art by J.R. Jr. It was a book called Daredevil. What was it, Daredevil? Oh, yeah. Man Without Fear. One of the best-selling Daredevil series ever. And Ian see this. And it's 40% off today. I'm like, oh, look, yoink. And he yoinks it back for me, saying, I'm going to buy it. And he buys it.
You're welcome. Now, meanwhile, somebody seems to have something to say. But
Did he just say yoink?
Yes, he did.
Yoink.
You said he yoinked it from you. Is that like glomp?
And today, kiddies, Brent learned a new word.
Yeah, you learn something new every time on Comic Time.
Oh, you know why not do a Brent about Brent today?
No. Brent learned the word glomp. GLOMP.
It's not an acronym.
Not an acronym for anything, but what it means is to dive tackle, hug, and sexually rape someone at the same time. Glomp. It's amazing. I've been glomp before also. It was very fun.
I'm not quite sure if I would explain it as fun.
Like the Nirvana song where he's like, rape me. I hate that fucking band.
Repay me?
Oh, dear. Yeah, well, you know what? Actually, you would have a lot in common with one of the guys that we interviewed today, but we'll get into that later. But, yeah, no, he said he hated Nirvana, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but... And Grant Morrison, yeah. But Raph got a bunch of really, really nice-looking prints and sketches and stuff today and spent $5,000. But let's actually describe every one of them to the people out there, including this lovely, lovely girl.
All right, let's start with the girl. It's a lovely girl. It says, I love my cupcake. It's black and white. It's $20. Girl from Invader Zim, the Nickelodeon series that was canceled about a few years ago. All right, let's move on to these prints here.
Painting with that guy with the afro or some shit.
And I'm going to put this bush here, and you don't tell anybody, or I'll kill you. I will go to your house and shank you. All right, then.
And some happy trees, and then I'm going to rape your family, and then I'm going to find where you live, and
old people with afros, why don't you do a Richard Simmons impersonation?
Oh, hello!
You know how I know you're gay? You just did a Richard Simmons impersonation.
Hi. All right, what else you get today, boy?
And continuing down the line, we have I had this guy who was giving out prints was buy two get one free, so $10 each. So basically three for $20. I got a Deadpool, I got a Batman Beyond Terry McGinnis, and I got my absolute favorite here, the animated Batman with Gurr as Robin. That's some good stuff. And I also saw Laura Martin, and she had this absolutely incredible Superman print there. It was limited edition, $25. I got that. That's pretty good for $25. And another favorite, 28 Heroes Later by Mark Wolf, which is basically DC Zombies beating the shit out of Marvel heroes. In fact, in the air, you can see Hawkman electrocute Storm with his own body and eat her because, you can't electrocute a zombie because because they're dead, like my parents.
But she's getting electrocuted, so she's dead.
Now she's dead. No, she's not a zombie. It's the DC guys are zombies because they're dead, like my parents.
Wow, I love how the back and forth with the mic is doing today. It's great. It's like Raph holds it, Brent talks, and then Brent gets handed the microphone and immediately hands it back to me.
You're reaching for it first. I just want to look at the picture.
Oh,
jeez. You can't even tell this is Storm.
No, you can't tell that that's Storm. All I see really is Hawkman.
Beating a yellow womanly figure.
An Asian woman figure I'm missing?
Oh, that's just so racist.
Yeah, your race card's beyond revoked now. That's not cruel.
And I got plenty of stuff, too, today. As previously mentioned, I got the Daredevil, you know, the lovely Frank Miller stuff. And yeah. And I also managed to get some Birds of Prey stuff as well. Well, this one...
Raph's on the couch tonight.
Oh, dear. Hey. Now, this I actually found before you, though, correct?
Looks like the...
Looks like David Hasselhoff fixing his hair.
Is he eating a hamburger?
What? I don't know why, dude. I love you.
I got nothing else for her, I guess.
But yeah, I did rightfully get that Birds of Prey stuff. That one was actually, like, available. Yeah, 2 seconds, but those were very too important 2 seconds. Oh, Brent's watch went off. Now it's successfully a comic timing. That's it. But yeah, and I also got myself some sketches also. I got myself a Tom Zauer and got myself one more sketch as well. I got myself the Empress in the sketchbook as well.
Later.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. And the retro... I do actually bite, yeah. And the Tom Zauer Retronado I got, I am such a huge fan of. It's just great. And Brent, actually, Raph forgot something, I guess?
No.
I'm just admiring my really, really bitchin' black and white Juggernaut getting beat up by Superman. Which Derek said that if I scan it and give it to him, he'll give me a high-res colored copy. Yeah, $10. Because my parents are dead.
Are you going to end every single sentence with "your parents are dead"?
Don't let him answer that.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Yeah. Right. Sure. Likely story. All right. Yeah. And we did go to some panels today, as well as Brent. Brent went to a couple. But you also accompanied your girlfriend somewhere, correct?
Yeah. I don't know if she wants to help tell this story or not. So Adrian Pazdar from Heroes is at this con, and Mandy loves Heroes, don't you, Mandy?
Oh yeah.
You can hear the enthusiasm in her voice. So. She wanted to meet him last year. Who is it? Pedro was at the con from Napoleon Dynamite, so she got a picture with him. So that was her mission. She's going to get a picture with Adrian Pazdar. So she bought a picture. It's a really nice looking picture. She took it. They printed it up. It's really nice. And then he had a Q&A session basically right after the DCU panel we all went to. So what did you think about that, hey, Mandy?
He was amazing.
What did he do? What'd you like about it?
I got to ask him a question about being a telecom student, and he talked to me for like 15 minutes, and we totally had a conversation there, and yeah, it was nice.
It was kind of awkward for us, for the other 90 people that were in the room, and you guys were just like talking back and forth.
Yeah, we definitely had a connection. It was awesome. The sparks were flying.
This is so great to hear this from my girlfriend. She's like looking dreamily, not at me, but she's like thinking of some other dude who has a kid, you know. He has a 6-year-old kid.
I love kids.
Well, I guess that's the end of that, folks. This will be Mandy's first and last appearance on Comic Timing.
Second appearance.
Second, all right. Second and last, you know.
Still not as hot as Johnny Storm.
But you did get a picture with some guy dressed as Johnny Storm, right?
Yeah, but not as hot.
He wasn't as hot. Okay. But you liked the panel?
Yeah.
You were happy?
It was really cool. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She made her happy. So that's good.
Come on. She's okay with going gaga over Nathan Petrelli. That's perfectly fine. I can highly accept that. He's a very attractive person.
As long as it's not Peter Petrelli.
Zing!
You know how I know you're gay?
And yet again, setting you up for that, obviously. All right. Well, we were all at the VCU panel today, and obviously Dan DiDio was not there. That's the one thing also that MegaCon is a little lacking in, is getting the big wigs to actually reveal things about upcoming events. They usually save those, I guess, for the other cons. But we had some guy named Ian and Ian Sattler. There we go, and editor.
Mike Martz, was that the other guy?
Yeah, Mike Martz.
Because he never said his name. All I heard was, this is Ian. Well, we came in late, too.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, it was a pretty interesting panel, at least. I mean, did you have any favorite parts, Brandon?
I have not a favorite part, but a sad part, though. No Young Justice trade ever, so it looks like.
They're there.
I'm on dollar bins. It's infinitely cheaper.
No, it's not. No, it really isn't. No, it's not.
And with library binding, you can make a trade.
Shut up!
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, Brian Deemer said that when Brandon over here was.
What's his name?
That happened earlier today. Actually, and Mandy was like, "So, what's his name again?" And I was just like, "We're standing in front of Dexter Vines' table getting this award stuff." No, I was just like, "Oh." Fuck.
Look down, this is sideways.
No, not Dexter Vine's name, your name.
Damn it!
She's talking about how you were funny, and she's like, what's his name again? Because it's like, we hadn't hung out for that long with you guys, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I was just like, oh, crap.
That black guy, right?
Yeah, you see, his name is Token, actually.
Wow, ouch.
I believe Brandon wants to say, fuck you guys.
I'm going home.
What he said.
Yeah, but I mean, that was kind of disappointing. However, Raph did get a nice surprise when I asked the question about his favorite Asian superhero, correct?
That's right. Ian asked if the two Atoms, Ray Palmer and Ryan Choi, are going to coexist together. All New Atom is going to continue with Ryan Choi in it, to which I screamed Asian power. I'm not going to repeat that screaming because, yeah. Also, Superman is going to get some special treatment for his 70th birthday. Mike couldn't really say that in public, so I asked him afterwards. And he recognized me from Comic Book Club, which was really cool. Brent?
I was just going to say that. Stop tickling me. That's not what I was going to say.
Wow.
Yeah, all right, next. No, I was going to say, was it just me, or were they really plugging Final Crisis and Batman Rest in Peace? They said R.I.P., but isn't it Rest in Peace?
Yeah, every answer to the question was, Batman, R.I.P. Final Crisis, Batman, R.I.P.
You think they want us to buy that or something, you know?
Wait, Trinity coming soon.
The reasoning behind that is because I believe they are both the editors of Batman R.I.P. and of Final Crisis, so that would probably be the reason. It's not an illusion. It's a Final Crisis. I don't know. I really don't know either. Yeah. All right, but yeah, and I mean, there were a couple other decent questions asked there, but we really didn't get really any answers. However, they did hint even farther and did mention that within the next couple of weeks, we will know what James Robinson's big project is going to be, which includes his Green Arrow and Green Lantern, which will be wonderful to hear.
And also, we'll finally find out what's definitive between Earth Sigma and now New Earth, hopefully. Earth Sigma was the first post-crisis Earth.
I did not know. I thought that was New Earth.
No, it was Earth Sigma.
I didn't even know this, and I've been following the entire thing. When did they mention that? I didn't even hear that.
This is like a while back. This is probably, I learned this when I was listening to CGS's breakdowns on Infinite Crisis, and Murd called it Earth Sigma.
Yes, but did he just call it Earth Sigma, or was it actually called Earth Sigma?
It was actually called Earth Sigma.
Huh. Wow. Go figure. I don't know. All right. Well, also, along with the DC Nation panel, Raph went to the Cup of Joe. We were there for like 5-10 minutes, but
my favorite part of the DC Nation panel when they were talking about JSA and Manny goes, "What did you say? What did you say? It was so cute."
What's JSA?
What's JSA? And we had to explain to her what it was later on, and she was like, "That's the JLA."
Was it fun?
Well, you see, actually, the JSA is the Jewish Society of Athletes. It's a brand new thing out there that all the Jewish athletes get together and fight crime.
Athletes, strategically
and nuclear. Lockbox. It's a locked box.
Now this lockbox will have all the codes to the nuclear weapons.
Oh man! Well, what else could JSA stand for? I'm trying to think. Just say alcohol.
Just say alcohol for Tony Stark.
And Iron Man coming soon, and we'll talk about the trailers that we saw, obviously. But yeah. Anyway, we weren't really a Cup of Joe that long. Raph stayed for the full thing. Give us the highlights.
Basically, you got a few different waves of questions. The first wave you guys were there for was, again, the One More Day talk, which we've already discussed yesterday. He basically repeated his answers. It's been done to death. Let's all move on, please. If you don't like what they did in Marriage, then don't read it. Whatever. Do whatever you want. I don't care. Comic Times has not endorsed my thoughts. There was also talk about Captain America and how the it was mishandled, the whole retail thing, because some guy from a comic shop also mentioned, not me, mentioned that they had problems at their store, and some personal questions about what he I asked him who his favorite character to draw would be from now on. It would be Spider-Man, actually, even though he already did it. His favorite character to like revitalize would be Deathlok. And actually, he did mention that he was actually pretty happy with Annihilation, despite the fact that it didn't do like super crazy numbers. They didn't expect it to do that great, but they felt that the hype. And he also mentioned the paradox between people saying we're sick of events, no more events, and the retailer saying people are buying events, give us more events, which is pretty crazy. Stop buying events, or I will kill you all. Comic Time, again, does not endorse the thoughts or opinions of Raph Suhu.
If you want more opinions from Raph Suhu, definitely check out Geeks Unite, because we don't agree with anything he says. But that actually is interesting to me about the whole Deathlok thing. Perhaps we'll see more Deathlok in the future. I don't know.
Frankie Ray or Death?
Potsy or Death?
All right, well, they were all in these panels. We got something to, me and Manny got something to eat. And I got some stuff signed. Went to see Jimmy Palmiotti. He hosted the Heroes panel that we were at. And then, so I brought my Daredevil, not Father, God, Guardian Devil, the Kevin Smith one. I brought my tray to that because I want Quesada to sign it. And then I was like, oh, Palmiotti inks this. I can just get him to sign it. So I was talking to him, telling him he did a good job hosting the Heroes panel because he kept us entertained because it was late and going on and stuff. And then he drew a little Daredevil in the front, so I thought that was pretty cool. So if you got a trade of Palmiotti stuff, go and talk to him, butter him up a little, maybe he'll do just a little head sketch in there. It's pretty cool, and it looks great.
Also, if you visit Palmiotti, bring a very beautiful woman. He will give you everything you want, really, pretty much. He says himself.
God's sakes, if you're Jimmy Palmiotti's cousin, I want my frickin' wallet back.
And Jimmy, you stole me $5, you bastard.
You should go there tomorrow and tell him that again and be like, hey, your cousin went my wallet.
It's like, remember me, man? I saw your damn cousin on the Avenue U bus. What the deal, man? What the deal? Give me my damn money back, you son of a bitch. You still got my credit cards. Yeah, so we got the trailers also, what that Brandon and I were there for. What was your favorite trailer of the event?
Oh, that Jason Chow movie. Oh, what was it? CJ4, I think it was? Yeah, oh, it's like this sci-fi kung fu movie. Looks like in the same vein of Kung Fu Hustle. Looks to be very funny. Also, we saw the same old Iron Man trailer, which has been out for the last couple months now. We saw the Dark Knight trailer, and we got a sneak preview for the... Go ahead.
For the Dark Knight anime, yes. Which looked fantastic. Awesome. I think it's the same one that's actually on the DVD for New Frontier.
And Bruce Timm talking about it, and there was like 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it was on the DVD.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and they obviously.
It's all over YouTube, too.
It's all over YouTube, yeah. I saw it on YouTube. It basically just, you know, confirmed everything that we already knew, that Deadshot is going to be in it, and Killer Croc, and Scarecrow, and it's going to be great, yeah. And all anime, and, you know, since Brandon and I are both anime fans, we're loving it.
It looks to be. It's in the same vein as the Animatrix. It's going to be. I think six different artists, six different stories, so it's going to be six different vignettes. It's going to be really, really freaky on some level, because it's going to be different seeing Batman in this anime vein. Not so much like, you know, the Batman now. It's going to be like straight anime, like mind-bending crap. It's going to be amazing.
And actually, the most important thing we learned from this panel, well, it's not even a panel, just the trailer showings, is that chances are, this upcoming Wednesday, we will have ourselves the first Incredible Hulk trailer, which is going to be, whoa, man.
And also, they did confirm that there will be the crossover between the Hulk and Iron Man also. Who plays Thunderbolt?
Who plays Thunderbolt
Do we remember here? Yeah, there you go, William Hurt. Yeah, William Hurt is going to be in both movies, and so is Mr. Snakes on a Plane himself.
Sam Jackson has the beer, bitch!
And the only way...
See my movies? Juice is a good movie! Deep Blue Sea, a motherfucking shark ate me!
And yet again...
Sam Jackson with the balls in a vice.
So see my movies?
That's like Sam Jackson if he's white and from Missouri.
That's true.
Have you seen my movies? And
that's like a Jewish Sam Jackson. I don't know.
It's like a Sam Jackson, Bill Cosby. I don't know. Yeah, Sam Jewish. But yeah, the only way to kill Sam Jackson is to get the shark from Deep Blue Sea. And Sam Jewish will be coming out soon with a brand new movie, I'm sure. Yeah, and a whole bunch of information was released there on DBZ, and all the list goes on. DBZ I think is going to be absolutely terrible. I don't know.
Like you said before, DBZ will be fun to watch with a group of friends, but not by yourself. Because right, yeah. you'd be sad and a loser.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it in theaters. I'm definitely not going to see it in theaters. It'll have to be on DVD.
Oh, if I see it in theaters, I'll just see it in MST the 3K the hell out of it, though.
Of course, of course. Chief McCloud?
Next episode on Dragon Ball Z.
Bloop, floosh. On the next episode of Dragon Ball Z, now that the constipation has ended, what will happen now that the Dragon Ball Z characters have used Prince Colon Flow?
A little douche-dropper.
I had to. Oh, I had to. No context needed on that one, ladies and gentlemen. No context needed, but all right.
Oh, what do you mean?
Oh, jeez. And
Go to the interviews now.
Well, we're almost at the interviews because I want to get some final thoughts here. Actually, give me your favorite costume of the day because there are a whole bunch of people who are running around in cosplay. Started off with Brent here.
Mr. Freeze. Oh. So a really cool Mr. Freeze had a big plastic, not plastic, clear, well, it was PVC, clear plastic, PVC helmet on. Couldn't eat for shit. Yeah, couldn't eat. It looked like Buzz Lightyear. I was like, how does he get in that thing? But yeah, it was really cool. He was running around with, Ra's al Ghul was over there, Poison Ivy, yeah. Some other people. I wanted to get a pic of him. Maybe he'll be tomorrow. Probably not, but there were some Umbrella Corporation people running around from Resident Evil. And they were checking out manuals when we were coming up the escalator, and one of them's like, hello.
Hello. La, la, la. Rap, what do you got?
I just went through all the pictures I took. Actually, one of the first ones I took was actually of a terrific Harley Quinn and Phoenix. And I think the Phoenix one looked better, but she was freaking terrific. Yeah. Okay.
I just want to add to my favorite costume. I saw a terrific guy in a Red Arrow costume. I can't recall if he had the the Kingdom Come goatee or anything like that. I don't think he did. He looks like what Roy looks like now, but it was like real leather, or it looked like real leather. Yeah. But it was just fantastic. I didn't get a picture with him because as soon as I tried, I was like, hey, nice costume. He's like, thanks, and walked away. That's Roy Harper for you, right? What a jackass.
Oh, right. Yeah. First off, I saw an amazing looking night when we first got the con today, and then there was...
Not that one at the door where you saw it.
No. This one here. Yeah, see? Yeah.
Oh, baby.
hey, that's it. You want to know how I know you're gay? Because you find Nightwing sexually attracted.
This is like a Batman and Robin Nightwing costume, but it looks like fucking Ben Stiller's inside of it. Look, that guy looks like Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller Nightwing. So, who else did you like?
It is. It's brand new.
So, who else did you like?
Starfire. Yeah. And apparently I saw a World of Warcraft character, like, looks like right out of the freaking game.
And, I think my favorite ones were the first Heath Ledger Joker that I saw, who was also along with this girl's rendition of what she thinks a movie Harley Quinn would look like. And it looked pretty much dead on as what I think it would look like if there is indeed going to be a Harley Quinn in this movie. And they both look really, really good. There was a really good Phoenix that was walking around. Oh, man, just in general, really good stuff. And plus, there were a couple of really good Helsing cosplayers. What can I say? I'm still a fan of Helsing. So I saw a nice Alucard and a nice Integra, and I was a happy camper. It's always the way things go, but yeah. And one final comment on the day. I don't give a shit about who's better, Yuri or Yowie. All right?
Yuri, Yowie.
I'm going to find all those people and stab them in the eye with a blunt tool.
So it's getting to be 6 o'clock. We're walking out of the con. We're like, what do you guys want to eat for dinner? And then all these anime freaks, I'm just going to use that term.
That's fine.
Because they must have been freaks because they're yelling that, you know, you're a yaoi or whatever. And yaoi is girl-on-girl manga.
Yuri is
girl-on-girl manga porn. Yaoi is guy-on-guy. So the guys would yell, Yuri! And the girls, yaoi! And then it got faster and faster and faster. Louder, 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 till the point where we couldn't even talk to ourselves.
No,
did they? Did they make out with each other
probably
at the end?
Yeah. Well, we don't know since we didn't actually see it, but I'm just going to assume that that's what happened.
Did the guys make out with each other?
I wouldn't be surprised, and I'm sure the girls probably made out with girls.
I think the piece was made when one girl and one guy made out with each other, and then they started making one large orgy. Then security had to come by before the costume contest, of course. Oh yeah.
I don't know if those anime freaks. We were eating lunch, and they're fucking playing Duck Duck Goose in the middle of like the entranceway in the hall.
See, that's actually a regular occurrence at anime conventions. There'll just be a large circle of Duck Duck Goose, and every single time, it's a pain in the ass and in the worst possible place.
That's not Japanese? What the fuck?
It's just an anime con thing. It's just one of those things that literally just got started at one con, and everybody started doing it afterwards.
Looking for traps, too.
Yes. Duck Duck Goose, Duck Duck Hunt.
Ew.
I'm gonna dress up as Brock Sampson.
It's like picking out what to eat. Duck, goose.
Yeah, I'm going to find all these people and stab them in the eye.
Wait. On a positive and comic book related note, I did got a chance to see Mark Waid today.
Yeah.
Mark Waid was at his booth of all places. Seriously, yeah, I know, yeah. Yo, sir, language, okay? Language, what? Your motherfucking language, bitch. Yeah, I got a chance to talk to him for a couple minutes. Told him what my favorite Mark Waid story was. It was from Justice League Quarterly number 6, I think it was, or number 5, way back from the 90s. No, because Kingdom Come is good, but it's not my best. And actually, my favorite was his favorite also. It was when Titans Date.
He got lucky on that one. Although, wouldn't it be awesome, though, if just no matter who he meets, his response is, oh, yeah, no, that's totally my favorite, too. Oh, yeah, no, Mr. Waid, my favorite issue that you've ever done was actually Impulse number 7, when oh, yeah, that was totally my favorite, too. How'd you guess?
You must rob me of my hopes and dreams, don't
Shut
you?
Shut down.
that kid at the Joe Q thing.
Well, if you want to hear that, you can listen to the previous part of this episode that we released on Friday night. No, it was early Saturday morning for you. Okay. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. You didn't ask me what I got.
Well, hey, Mr. Casino, what did you pick up at the gun?
Well, today I was looking for trades. Didn't really find any. Found some ones that were like, buy 3, get them 25% off, and you can easily beat that on DCBS or in-stock trades. But I did pick up some other Night Quest issues, because those aren't traded. So, and then I can do a BK's Bullets on that for Raging Bullets when they hit episode 75 and do that storyline. But I got stuff signed by Ethan Van Sciver, and I got the Sinestro Corps special signed. And I was asking him what his next project was, because last year he was like, oh, I'm doing a Batman solo project. Well, yeah, that never happened, obviously, right? So he said it's doing some big thing that it's with Jeff Johns. And he did say he's doing a Blackest Night prologue, just like he did for Sinestro Corps. But this other thing that he's doing is so big that it's taking him away from doing more Blackest Night than he could, I guess. I don't know if he's really doing the whole thing, or I guess he's like doing like a small part in the end. And I asked him, I said, is there a chance that Batman might be in it? Because he draws Batman's cape so awesome. He said, there's a good chance. So, I'm Justice League? I mean, I have no clue.
Well,
Plastic Man? He loves Plastic Man.
It's a possibility. I mean, I'd love to see him on Plastic Man eventually, just to sort of revive it, because that is like his dream project, but yeah.
Oh, and another thing about Ethan Van Sciver, you guys, this makes me want to go out and buy an Ethan Van Sciver hardcover every time I see him. Because if you bring him a hardcover, no matter if you're on a sketch list or not, he will open that sucker up, say, oh, what do you want me to draw, and just draw on it. This guy had a sick-ass Sinestro in the new Sinestro Corps hardcover. It's Sinestro, and he's holding up the ring. He's, like, right at his face, like, you know, putting him up. Van Sciver Sinestro, so just picture that. And he inked it, and then he added in some purple for like his hair and stuff with his colored pencils. And then he did like the yellow colored pencils around it for the energy and all this shit. And the best part was he wrote in big letters on like the opposite page, like, "Fear me." It was so badass. And Sinestra was so evil looking. I was like, God damn it. I want to stop buying the single issues for this guy so I can get the fucking hardcover, but I just can't stop because he's my favorite artist, to be quite frankly. Next time I see him, I'm definitely going to just go buy one and just be like, well, bam.
I know it's late because immediately after you say "to be quite frankly," I said, well, what about "to be Frank Whiteley"? Quite frankly, Frank Whiteley. Yeah, I get it. Quite frankly, Frank Whiteley. You get it? Yeah. Okay, great. Anyway, all right, yeah, but anyway, wouldn't it be awesome, though, if this magical super project is actually the James Robinson new project that they've been hinting about?
No, he's doing it with Jeff Johns. He said he's doing it with Jeff Johns. Yeah, he said that. I was thinking, though, with that James Robinson thing. Is he the new JLA writer? Is McDuffie leaving, you think?
I think so. That might be true, but what was the All-Star project? But maybe Van Sciver will do it with Johns? No, All-Star Batgirl. All right, well, then maybe he'll take over Detective for Dean. No, that they didn't say that.
No, All-Star Batgirl is not going to be the hugest thing ever. No, it's not. All-Star Batgirl is not going to sell whether it's got J.J.
All-Star JLA would be great. Yeah, All-Star JLA with Jeff Johns and Ethan Van Sciver would be brilliant. I don't know if that's going to be it, obviously, but that would be something that would be huge.
I still say All-Star Batgirl will sell if you put Jeff Johns' name on it.
Yeah, but it's still not the most awesome thing ever.
That's not something that he would give up time off Blackest Night to do, though.
That's definitely true. All right, so we're at about 46 minutes here on my thing, which will, of course, be cut down to like 40 once I'm done editing this thing, or 35-something. But anyway, we got a couple interviews that we're going to air here, just two, really, but two really good ones, one that Raph did, one that I did, and both with really cool people. So go ahead and check those out, and we'll be back in like 5 seconds, 10 minutes your time or something like that.
One fight with that Sean, what's his name?
The police officer.
Is that what he was? Okay, like the guy decided to wear out Kimbo Slice, but he did it in this manner. Instead of like making him run laps or like jumping jacks, no, he let Kimbo Slice hit him in the head for like 20 minutes. That is not a sound tactic. That's right
here. And that's how brain damage happens.
Yeah. That guy looked like raw hamburger.
Hey, man, when he fought one of those guys in the backyard, his eyeball was like hanging out.
Oh, my God. No, that guy.
Kimbo was like, hit me. He let him get a free hit.
Yeah, I saw him. Bam, bam.
Yeah,
like,
no. He just goes like
and
this.
And it hit like his neck.
And he bam, bam. And he like, the guy hit him twice. And he's like, didn't
ready?
Even move.
And he goes, I was
like,
you ready?
Oh, God.
I cowered in my living room. I don't even know where this guy lives.
Oh, that's ridiculous. All right, MegaCon Day 2, due to my own stupidity, the damn thing didn't come out the last time, so let's try this one more time here. A little less spontaneity, but who freaking cares? And yet we still get the putty sound. Thanks a bunch. All right, we're here with some Sentai fans. They're coming out with a new comic, and, here we go. Introduce yourselves to the crowd.
I'm Sean Cummings.
Travis Earls.
We write Code in Power. It's an American Sentai book. Lots of violence, lots of gore, people in colored outfits, giant robots, everything you ever want. Zombies eating babies.
That's the selling point right there. The minute anybody says to me, zombies eating babies, I'm going to pick up that comic book.
Yeah, so we're really excited. We just got our second issue out. It's a penciled issue. It's a MegaCon exclusive, so you guys won't see that on the website. We've been working through. We worked for like 3 weeks straight on this thing. I was sick. He was sick. Nobody slept. My girlfriend's pissed at me. Just, you know, shenanigans in general.
It's only like it should have been an MTV documentary.
No, I hate MTV.
Okay, fine, a documentary for a good channel.
Okay.
tell us a little bit about the book.
It's our version of the Power Rangers. We were really heavily inspired by these things as children. And we watched them, we loved them, grew up, and it kind of petered out. Disney got a hold of it and ruined it, and, you know. So we went back and we took our version of it. The original Power Rangers were five white bread kids that were supposedly with attitude. No attitude between any of them. I think like once they said like, shut up. And that was about it. Our guys are not like that. They're real. They were real people. They start out in high school, so they're evil. You know, like these guys aren't nice to each other. They do.
They're emo?
They have their moments.
But without the hair. Without the hair, though.
Yes, absolutely, without the hair. Actually, it's one of the things we haven't really brought up, though. It's Power Rangers inspired by punk, like as through seeing the eyes of like punk music, because that was really heavily influenced as we were writing the book. So it's set in modern times. You've got everything. There's a reason for everything. So unlike regular Power Rangers, there's no random explosions. There's no random bad guys. You've got people with stories and compelling things. It's not anime. This is American comics. There are no spiky headed heroes with emotional issues and, stupid, effeminate bad guys. So,
in other words, there is no power level over 9,000.
Oh, God, I swear I almost stabbed you in the neck when you said that.
9,000?
23 minutes of yelling does not a TV show make.
On the next episode of Dragon Ball Z, only 5 minutes until the planet Namek explodes. Find out what happens in the next 23 minutes of Dragon Ball Z.
More yelling. Yay. But I'm just the writer. The artist is the one that created the book. He's a nice costume.
Yeah, we awesome. Team Fortress 2 spy right here, man. This is awesome. This is awesome. Beautiful, beautiful.
And just to let everybody know, that's a damn good spy.
Yes, exactly. I had no idea he was here. Yeah, he's. Let me actually turn this over to Travis here for a minute, since he came up with the idea in the first place. What gave you the idea for the book?
Me and a friend were sitting around one day actually talking about, how much we both were really huge Power Rangers fans. And we were talking about that. We got to talking about all the stupid stuff that happened in the show. The lame kids that, had no attitude at all. The random explosions that just happened. All the things that never seemed to really make sense in the show that just kind of came out of nowhere. Later find out, I watched the Japanese show. I see where they were getting their things from what they had to work with. The Japanese show was amazing and made sense. Try to transfer it over here and it didn't. But, that's what I grew up on and I was inspired by it. That and, horror movies, all the stuff that I grew up on, although I about peed myself in every horror movie that happened up until I was, 10. But, my mom was a big horror movie fan, so I was around it my whole life. And so, I really liked the zombies thing, so that played a part. I mean, there's a lot of things in there that are just mixes of all the stuff I grew up on. The most obvious is the Power Rangers, or Sentai in general, because, of course, I love Voltron, all that good stuff.
Ultraman for the win.
Ultraman. All the other shows, Superhuman Samurai, Cyber Squad, VR Troopers, all of that. But also, I loved Transformers. That was absolutely my baby when I was little. So when you get to the part that's, the Zords, they're actually very Transformers-like. A little bit of Metal Gear design in there, too, you'll see. Nice. Every story that I thought was cool plays into this in some form or another. And so you'll see a lot of nods and things. Actually, in the first issue, if you really know what you're looking for, there's an inside joke or a reference to a TV show in there on almost every single page. She actually breaks through a panel where she's pushing people out of the way on the street, and it's characters from Futurama and Family Guy.
Oh, that's beautiful. That I gotta see right here. Open that baby up. Oh, yes. Oh, of course I can. Okay, we go. Well, obviously, okay, Wheela, Fry.
Hermes.
Peter?
That's Peter and Meg. Yep. Yeah, and that's the main character. Wow, that's awesome. That's brilliant.
And it's amazing how many people don't notice it, because I don't understand how you can't. That's purple hair.
And you got to have purple hair.
Well, I know, but everybody else on the page looks normal. I'm like, I don't know, whatever.
I mean, it could have been like Nico from Runaways or something like that, I mean.
Yeah, because that's a, pop culture reference.
Oh, of course, right. Well, we're at a Comic-Con. What can I say, man? What can I say?
Fair enough. I have a crush on Nico, by the way. She's a slut.
She will sleep at anything that moves, female or male.
Oh, my God.
For Sean.
It's just because I don't live in Los Angeles.
Oh my God, dear God, we're going to the place that's absolutely impossible here. But yeah, Travis gave me an awesome sketch of Wonder Girl before. He's doing a really nice, also I could just see from here the century that he's drawing so far. It was like really, really good stuff. But you want to give the website out there for everybody?
Sure, absolutely. It's codenamepower.com. It's all one word. We have a website up. You can check out the first five pages of the first issue. We have a story, everything. We update it regularly. We have a forum. Come talk to us. We're really excited to be talking to new people. So
you'll definitely be hearing more of them in the future on the show, man. But, yeah, definitely thanks for joining us, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Very much. Thank you very much.
All right. We'll be here later with more MegaCon, probably, unless this thing breaks.
My parents are dead.
That was not necessary. So you might have realized that we're talking again. as opposed to actually ending the episode. Well, that's mostly because, we're talking again. I was lazy last night and then actually didn't put the episode out, and I actually wanted to sleep, so we're just going to combine part two and part three. And daylight savings didn't help, exactly, yeah. So you know what, actually? We did a daylight savings of like 12 hours to 24 hours, so you're just going to get it a day later. I'm obviously in Levinstein still. That's obviously still Brent. That's obviously still Rath. That's obviously still Brandon.
See us, yes.
Since you guys can see us looking at us, it's a video, guys. Hi, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey. He's trying to be Jim. I don't know why. But, all right, yeah, so, yeah, day three's done. It was a much more subdued day, but we did get some purchasing done. A few of us got some successful issues that we were looking for, especially Brent, right?
I found Legends of the Dark Knight and Shadow of the Bat stuff that was missing from the Night Quest run that I was looking for. So I'm probably out 4 or 5 issues, maybe, of the whole thing.
That's not bad at all, man. I mean, and are they easy to... do you think they're easy to find issues? Do you think you'll be able to get them next con?
I don't know. It depends. I may go out and buy them depending on how Raging Bullets gets to it.
Hey, retard, stop laughing, please.
Tom Cruise, ladies and gentlemen. We actually managed to get Tom Cruise in the car. How about that? Now, Raph spent, yet again, way too much money. However, he did make one purchase for $1, which worked out very well. I'm going to actually do something awesome here.
Yeah, I actually got a Superman doll for $1. It was going to go to the Cold Lonely Warehouse. So I saved the Superman. I actually got one more print and one more sketch, a sketch of Wonder Woman taking a look at her, doing a picture of her on MySpace, you know, that camera-taking self thing. And I got some good comics. I got another Jamal Ligo-drawn Crime Society because my other one got damaged, Ms. Marvel 23, and... The only countdown issue I'm missing, 38. So, yeah, pretty good haul. Not as much as yesterday or the day before, but still a good haul.
It is actually a good haul for you. But most specifically now, you get to cuddle with Superman. How about that?
I have 3 already. This is just going to go...
I cut your mic off for the second part of it, by the way, just for the hell of it.
That's cool.
Your parents are dead?
My parents are dead.
Just double checking. Okay. I had to. I can't resist that. What can I say? Brandon, what'd you get, man?
I got a lot of crap. Welcome to Tranquility #1, and also Armageddon #1. And Ian, Ian has repeated himself. Reprieved.
Oh, I thought you said repeated myself. I'm like, what? Huh?
Yeah, you're not that tired yet, are you? No, Ian has reprieved himself by getting me issue #1 of Daredevil, The Man Without Fear. Thank you very much. Yeah, just one. Just one. He's working on Atonement still. I picked up, for those who like City Heroes, and you know I do, City Heroes #2.
Awesome!
Here, Raph, you can read it.
Thank you!
Don't read it now, man. We're freaking podcasting, you bastard.
Hey, I read and podcast at the same time.
Point. Continue.
Thank you. Man, a couple issues, well, a lot of issues of Manhunter. And they were all $3 per pound. Yes, in Florida, you can buy comics per pound.
Because that's totally just a Florida thing. You know, Florida is the only place that you can do that. For all you know, it's a convention thing, man.
No, I've never been to a convention where they sell comics by the pound.
You really like saying pound. One more time.
Pound.
Your voice cracks when you do it. I think that's my favorite part. And you're gonna hear a little bit of wind on the episode here, but that's also because we really like the wind right now. So please avoid that at all costs.
Also, I picked up my Robin issue #1. That should go in my collection right there. I didn't get Chuck to sign it, unfortunately, but, you know, maybe next year. Maybe next year. He was there. We saw him and we talked to him for a long time, actually.
So how about that Chuck Dixon, huh?
On the day that you weren't there, I'm sorry.
Is your flight leave again?
Now, actually. Run, Brandon, run!
My parents in 3 days. And they're probably really fucking mad.
So you'd rather see your parents, the ones that gave birth to you, than us? I am sickened by that, man. Sickened, I say. Sickened. Not really. You get any more sketches? I forgot.
No, I had no sketches today. I wanted to save some money because, you know, I like saving money. So I just went and got dollar books. And I missed out. I think they might have dropped the prices on one of the booths where they were 50 cents off. I think they might have made them like quarter books now. I'm like, damn it.
I mean, at the same time, I did pick up a couple of good books also. I got, I think, 15 through 20 of Marvel Team-Up, which was actually really great. I got myself 2 Robin annuals.
Was that Kirkman?
That was Kirkman, yeah, that was Kirkman. And
is that the Moon Knight one also?
You know, I think that one of them might actually be the Moon Knight one.
Spider-Man Moon Knight is my favorite one.
Well, I noted a couple of covers had... Wow, Brent's having way too much fun with the light right now. Is it the shiny? Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
He's mesmerized by it. In fact, he'd rather hear that than me right now. Yeah, the ones that I got, I think like one or two covers had Aranya and Gravity both on it. So I'm ready to read those. That's going to be fun. Now he's putting the light in my eyes like the dick that he is, knowing that this is the last time he can actually mess with what I'm saying by looking at me. Because the rest of them are all going to be Skype things, so he just, you know, mute the mic and talk to his you know, boyfriend. Oops, I mean roommate, and you know, get something going like that.
And also, I got my
you got your gay lover
bite my ass.
No,
you want to know how I know you're gay? You want him to bite your ass?
Screw you! All right,
that's not my job.
You're all assholes, isn't that right?
What were you going to say, Brandon?
I got my Judas contract signed by Mr. Jorge Perez himself, George Perez.
Who is actually here due to his wife.
Nice juxtaposition, if I can use a very large word.
And you did. Congratulations. I also got, well, like I said, I was getting, I got two Robin annuals. One was the Elseworlds, and one was the, what's the other one called again? It's also like an Elseworlds.
I think it's like Legend of the Dead Earth, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that one was like sort of like, I guess, tall tales about previous heroes, 94 annual. And a couple other issues here and there. I got actually 12 number zero, which I believe you got also, correct?
Yes, I did.
And hopefully you will start reading the 12, because that's good, right?
Is it only 12 issues?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, well, yeah. One issue for each person. Oh, it's actually 13 issues, if you count the zero.
If you count the zero, yeah. I don't really, though, because that's actually more like an origin type thing where they go back and they're retelling old stories. Well, not even retelling. They're just reprinting old stories.
And as we all know, zero issues are strictly for DC.
Yes, exactly. Pick up Booster Gold number zero is actually really good.
And Legion number zero also really good, too.
Yes, I agree.
And Robin Zero.
Yes, Robin Zero was good. I also got Batman. Oh, wow, Murd. Murd is in a comic. Oh, my God, it's Murd. Pariah, baby, Pariah.
Jericho.
They look exactly the same. How am I supposed to tell the difference? Yes, they do.
It's purple here, wasn't it?
Oh, excuse me. All right. But anyway, going back to what I was saying, though, I got Batman Season 1 figures that I've been looking for. Problem is, none of them actually turned out to be the ones that I wanted. So I gave them to everybody in the car except for Rap because, you know, he's not special. I got Joker for Brent, and now Robin goes home with Brandon, and
yes.
Woohoo!
Hot digging a damn!
And our buddy Travis, who you heard previously in an interview, we gave him the Catwoman, which he was very happy about.
And yes, we can say he is our buddy now.
Yes, especially after this, because both of them are awesome guys, and you will definitely be hearing them on Comic Timing very, very soon, and maybe even some of the other podcasts in the car currently.
And also, Ian, the little shucks that he is... Got them the whole entire second day's worth of, like, money, pretty much?
Well, you know, I wouldn't like to brag or anything, but,
go
you know.
Ahead, brag some, you little shucks, though.
You're trying to use as many Jewish words as you
I
know
say
right
thee
now.
Nay. I say thee nay, foul villain.
The running gag for at least one of the days was Jewish Thor, and I don't think that's really gotten out of people's heads yet. Raph, I don't know. I forget. Did you mention the sketches you got from everybody?
I did mention him yesterday. I did get one today from a very nice lady. I also, just to quickly mention, I did have an interview with Shannon Chenoweth, who does The Line. It's a great comic. It's featured in Numbers, and we lost the interview, unfortunately, and so I just want to give her a plug. She does great work. She's the writer of that. You can find her at her website. Just look up The Line, and you should be able to find her, so yeah.
And the co-host, not co-host, co-host got himself the biggest score of the day, the biggest interview score. Tell him what you got, man.
We got Mark Waid coming up.
Awesome. He's much more interested in the book right now than talking to us, as usual.
At least he didn't zone out this time, though.
What'd you say?
I'm sorry, I zoned out. What was that?
Oh, yeah.
And he does it live.
Live and in charge, indeed. But, that was really, really cool that we were able to talk to him. And we got a couple other interviews also that will be airing here.
Jimmy, if you're listening, I want my $5 back, please.
Brandon doesn't even remember why he owes him $5. That's the best part of all this.
Some stupid bet wizard world. I don't remember. So are we announcing who we got for interviews today or what?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. You can do it.
Also, we got... Greg Horn. Greg Horn, of course, is the, you know, Marvel cover artist, poster boy, cheesecake maker for Ms. Marvel. He did Emma Frost series. He did Shulky for a little bit. And also he's working on the Marvel Invasion stuff as well. Coming down the pipe, we also have two interviews from itty-bitty small press webcomics. One is from twomonocles.com. The other one I'm blanking on right now, unfortunately. Nice gentleman. Talked for him for about a half hour just on the industry itself. Follows comics himself still. And
and obviously, we ended off with a conversation with Comic Geek Speak, which I guess sort of has to happen, doesn't it?
And wait, you had an interview also, didn't you?
Yes, I did, actually. And the problem is I'm blanking on her name. I don't know her last name is Bottom because she was making jokes about her actual last name being Bottom. Yeah, yeah, great, Brent. Thanks for the gesture there.
Oh, I can't see on the air because we actually like her.
God. Yeah, you people are perverts. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, it was actually a really nice interview, and I actually hope to have her on really soon, as I might very well have her in on the Why Superhero Comics Hate and Love conversation, which should be good times. And Brandon wants to be on, but he doesn't have internet, so screw him.
I'll have internet.
Fuck you, Brandon.
I am actually very proud of Raph for giving up on the temptation of getting himself a Kyle Rayner jacket. As you know,
oh, I missed that. Oh well, I mean, well, I actually, to be honest, would rather have a shirt than a jacket because it's kind of too far there. Yeah.
How is it too far?
This coming from the guy who spent $150 some odd in sketches and prints
and cards. Don't forget the cards.
Yeah.
My parents are dead.
Oh, bull.
Let's get a real response from you, Raph.
All right, well, you got... Well, see, I've been to, like, 11 cons before this, and I never had the money to buy anything except for, like, back, like, 50-cent bins. So this is the first time I really got to cut loose, so cut loose, right?
You know, I really wish you were there when this one out-of-state guy was talking about how, yeah, yo, I went to New York City, and I went to try this place, what is it, Midtown something, and I just couldn't find it, even though it's supposed to be right there in Times Square. I just couldn't find it.
Fuck him.
Wow. I hope he doesn't listen to the show.
And there goes your listener base. Good job, Raph. Mm-hmm. Wait, but you can all...
what is it?
GeeksUnitedListen.com?
Yeah, whatever.
Geeks United, whatever. Who freaking cares? I'm sorry.
No one listened to it.
you get anything else of interest at the con you want to talk about, Brent?
I got Jim Chung to sign the new Avengers Illuminati series. George Perez, Mark Waid signed Brave and the Bold. David Finch signed the World War Hulk covers. I did not find Joe Quesada. He was only there for an hour today, so...
Good job. Good job, guest of honor.
My name is Joe Quesada, and I use Slim Fast. That's right, Slim Fast. It got rid of 300 pounds.
And three triple chins.
Yeah. That's nine... Wow, he lost nine chins?
He had nine chins all working for him, too.
All working for him?
Yeah. Remember he was a singer?
I just want to say, Mark Waid, if you're listening to all of this, I'm sorry.
Mr. Waid, I still love you. And wait, he had nine chins working for him?
Yeah, we should tell that story. So I'm interviewing Mark Waid, and I was like, we finished up, and I was like, thanks a lot, appreciate it. Because I was telling him when he was signing my books like 10 minutes before that I loved Brave and the Bold number 3 with the Blue Beetle and all that, which is probably why he got me the interview. Or he was nice enough to say, yeah, I'll do a 5-minute interview. So anyway, I'm putting away the iRiver and stuff that Ian loaned me that I just learned to use 5 minutes before. And Raph goes like, all right, it's my turn. And Raph walks up and is like, oh, hey, Mr. Waid.
Hey, Mr. Waid. I want to gush all over you right now because I love you.
I'm just going to fanboy gush all over you. And Mark Waid just goes, oh, great, and looks at me and goes, come back.
If it excuse me, I said I would gush all over. I did not say fanboy. Excuse me. Anyway, no, I did tell him how much... I do have a history with him, which I have explained before on Geeks Unite. I won't explain it now, but yeah, I did get... he did sign my Kingdom Come t-shirt, which I just bought. And yeah, I'm never wearing that shirt. And he actually took a picture with me. He said goodbye to me while he was leaving. And I said, hey, we want to take a picture. And I got a good picture with Mark Waid. So all ends well.
That's nice. And you also got something from Maury, didn't you?
Yes, I did get his sketchbook and a lovely Phoenix headshot with all the fire in the background. Fire. Fire.
Yeah, Maury Hallowell's an awesome guy.
Maury's a nice guy, but your fire fetish scares that living fuck out of me.
Fuck you.
Oh. Silenced. Thank God.
Again, Mr. Waid, I'm sorry.
That's it. Okay, I knew we were gonna get. I knew we were gonna get at least one new catchphrase out of this entire weekend. Comic timing, Mr. Waid. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I did not explain to him that our podcast is like 420 something. We're all half nuts. So you know.
Wait. You give us justice, man. Half nuts. Come on.
Okay. Well, us three are half nuts. Raph is totally nuts.
Fuck you all.
I think I like my parents are dead better. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I do too.
Wait.
My parents are still dead.
That's good to hear.
So, Rick Gordon, if you're listening, I'm sorry. You might want to put earphones on every episode of Common Timing Now from now on.
I think he kind of already knows that, considering this is not that different from every other episode of Comic Timing.
Oh, fuck yeah.
We never promise to be clean, and that's definitely true when we're all in the same place at the same time, and we're looking at each other, and we're like, crap, I can't think of anything other to say other than fuck.
Hey, your plane's leaving, look!
Come back, plane, come back!
Let's go.
Alright, well, yeah, we should be heading out soon, so you know what, let's just get some final thoughts on the con, and we'll have the full final wrap-up of everything on Geeks Unite either sometime this week or next week, but yeah, let's start final thoughts here with the guy who we all met for the first time today, Brent. Well, not today, yesterday. The day before that.
Yeah, yeah, are you sure it's not Thursday or Wednesday?
Okay, let's go with Friday. Yeah, the guy we met on Friday, Brent.
It was good. I liked coming all three or 2 days. It was nice. Got more stuff done. It wasn't as rushed, so it was pretty cool.
Better than last year?
A lot better.
Because of us?
I'm just going to leave it at that.
I'm going to take it as a yes. All right, moving on to Brandon.
My God, this was a much better con than anything I've ever been to. East Coast cons usually are kind of dull, except for like New York and like Philly because they're close to Marvel and DC. But, like, God, Florida, it looks nice, it smells nice, except for, like, the fanboy funk every once in a while. And people are just nice down here, and that's the one thing I'll always remember about MegaCon.
I agree with that, actually. I mean, we met so many awesome people here that we would have never met otherwise. And
they're still hungry about art and their work, too.
Definitely, I agree with that entirely. You're leaning forward, so. You got anything, or are you just leaning forward?
I was just going to say, you New Yorkers haven't seen this much sky.
No, I agree with that entirely.
I see sky all the time. I live in Philadelphia, where it's slightly less urban than New York, but it's still pretty.
Now, question. Did he say you New Yorkers and Philadelphians, or did he just say New Yorkers?
Because I know he lives in the suburbs. He said that earlier.
Hot damn for the suburbs. A-Town props, bitches. Yo!
Because we're rocking the suburbs. Good Ben Folds song.
No, I don't like Ben Folds.
And moving on to Mr. Suhu.
Yeah, this is probably one of the best cons I've ever been to. New York, I get more information from New York from the panels, obviously, but for space, I mean, I got a lot of sketches and stuff. This is a pretty good con. I think we should make it a regular one. Yeah. The pie, it's so good. But no more Yuri Yaoi, please. If anybody does that to me, I will kill them.
Hello, my name is Yuri Yaoi. Hello.
Yuri Yaoi, Yuri Yaoi. Why is this getting my name? I do not know why.
In Soviet Russia, Yaoi Yuri is you.
I'm gonna fucking end them when I see them.
Wait, Mr. Wade, we're sorry.
And that's the best response anybody could have. I'm just going to finish it off by echoing everybody's statements. It was a fantastic weekend. It was the best vacation I've had in a long, long time. And he's already doing the theme music in the background, even though I'm not up to that part. But yeah, in general, I am amazed at how awesome this con was and how nice everybody was. And I'm definitely going to try and make it back next year. And if I don't, I'll be sad and cry and probably die. But yeah, good times. Not a fire, though. No, not like Azrael, right?
Right.
At least he agrees. All right, you know what? Here are the interviews. We got about, we got like 5 or 6 interviews this time around. So definitely listen to those, and we'll be back once everything's all done with that.
And this is Brandon here on day 3 of MegaCon, Con. And I am with
Lee Brett Schneider.
And Lee, what comic do you do?
The name of my comic is Wheelchair Romeo.
Wheelchair Romeo?
Yeah, there's a story behind that. He used to go to community college. There's this older guy who was always being pushed around in this wheelchair by all these really, really attractive, like, much younger girls. But they were always different girls, so I thought he was a wheelchair Romeo.
Nice. I did read the one you gave out on Friday, the top one here.
Yes.
And my God, I never laughed so much my whole entire life reading that.
Thanks, man. Yeah, that's basically the main point, is just to make people laugh. Give them at least, like, you know, 3 seconds or in the morning to read it, you know, and have a little chuckle.
Now, how would you describe Wheelchair Romeo?
Well, people have described it to me as kind of like Archie, but maybe a little bit more vulgar. I mean, it's definitely not for kids. There's some family-friendly strips, but it's just, I got a dirty mind, I guess. But, yeah, it's kind of like Archie meets It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, if you've ever seen that show. Everybody is a jerk in the comic. No, there's no characters that are tasteful or anything.
All right, now, how long have you been doing this webcomic?
Let's see. I've been doing it for about maybe a year and a half now. And I hand-draw it all now. I used to actually cheat a little bit in Illustrator and copy and paste and just change the facial expressions. But I never felt like I was growing as an artist. So a couple months ago, I switched to all hand-drawn with a tablet. I've definitely noticed an improvement in my artwork, so hopefully that'll draw more people, you know?
Now, as an artist, well, what are some of your influences, really?
I guess I'd have to say that I actually read Archie comics still. I really like them. I think that the artwork is particularly good. But from the art side, Gabe from Penny Arcade, of course, you know, that was one of the first webcomics I ever read, so it's hard not to be influenced. And, you know, he'll drop names in his blog, like Steve Silver, so I gotta go check that out. I love John Kay, Ren and Stimpy. Yeah, even though I don't know if that's reflected in my work, but definitely an influence. As well as a bunch of people on LiveJournal.com. Casey Green, who's Cap'n underscore special. Dean Tripp, who's the user Dry Ponder. All these guys, it's like every morning I wake up and I read my my blog roll, and it's like a constant inspiration.
All right, now, how long have you been doing art in general, really?
Well, I've been drawing my whole life, but I would say I've only been drawing seriously for the past 2 years, like trying to do comics. I remember when I was a kid, I would try and make my own comics, and I'd never get past page one, and I'd say, man, I'll never do this. I'll never be able to do this. I don't have the patience. And then I started reading comics again later in life and thought, you know, I'll give it another shot, and it's getting more and more easy.
I know. MegaCon is kind of half anime, half comic books, some toys running there, really. What's some of the weirdest things you've seen going by today sitting at your booth?
Well, one of the best things I saw yesterday at the con was this giant Pocky stick who had a boombox, and he danced all day. I saw him when I came in, and I saw him as I was leaving. He was dancing all day. You know, some of the weirder stuff, like guys being led around on leashes and stuff like that, but it's all good. If I can get them to come over, look at the comic, and chuckle, it doesn't matter what they're into. I don't care, you know, because I'm weird too.
You said you've been drawing seriously over the last 2 years. From 2 years ago today till now, how would you say your art style has changed the most?
Well, I'm more open to the idea of using more color. If you look at some of my earlier strips, there's a lot of black and white and minimal color. But now it's full color. Everything's full color. I feel like my lines are a lot smoother, too. So everything's getting a little softer and harder in some places, but it's definitely more refined. It's hard to say. It's kind of like watching a puppy grow up. You just notice one day that it's a dog. It's not a puppy anymore, you know? That's kind of how I feel about my art.
Now, are you into comics also, or no?
Well, I kind of stopped reading. I slowly weaned myself off of mainstream comics. I mean, I just bought like $50 worth of top shelf books. But the last two comics I were reading were The Ultimates and Runaways. I thought I'd never stop loving Runaways. But somehow, and I'm not bashing Joss Whedon, I feel like he ruined the book, though. But I love some of his other stuff. And I don't know what to believe anymore, you know? And they do all these big events every summer. It's just hard to follow as a casual reader.
I understand. Also, I think I see your take on the big event right here with the picture you drew. For those who can't see, what it is, it's the Hulk tearing Joe Q's arm off, saying, "Hulk hates you for ruining 616. And Joe Q saying, "But I'm skinny." No!
Yeah, that's true. That's not, I mean, that's how I feel. I don't really hope that Joe Quesada's arms get ripped off. But, a couple of years ago, I was at a Joe Q panel here at MegaCon, actually. And somebody stood up and was like, "Why are you ruining Thor?" And I was like, "I don't read Thor. I don't care, you know? Whatever. Ask a question about Spider-Man." And now that he's, you know, practically erased the last 30 years of Spider-Man's history, I feel so betrayed. Like, you know, now no one's going to speak up for me because I didn't speak up for Thor guy.
Well, sir, it's always a pleasure. Are you doing any more tours? Are you doing MegaCon mostly?
Right now, I'm just at MegaCon. My friend Justin Peterson and I are thinking about making the trip up to the Small Press Expo and maybe out to San Diego this year. We haven't quite decided. But you can read my comic at wheelchairromeo.com. Please do, and please just laugh.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Hey, everybody. This is Brent Cassino with Comic Timing. We're here with Mark Wade at the MegaCon convention in 2008. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Brent. Good. Having a good time. You enjoying the show?
I'm enjoying it a lot. So what's your favorite thing about MegaCon other than other cons?
My favorite thing about MegaCon is Beth Wadira, who runs the show. She's an amazing lady, and her family work harder than anybody else I've ever seen. And anytime Beth asks me to go to a show, I'll be there for her.
Well, it's a good thing to have you here because I was here last year and was looking around, and yeah. It's good to see you here.
Thanks.
All right, so first off, let's talk about Boom Studios. You're the new editor-in-chief, right?
Yep, editor-in-chief of Boom Studios.
So what are some big things you've got coming from Boom that you want folks to know about that they might not?
One of the biggest things we got coming out soon is a book called Salem by screenwriters Chris Morgan and Kevin Walsh and artist Fredo Torres, who it's a book about the Salem witch trials, but the actual witchcraft and the actual magic and witches and sorcerers that were happening during that time that you never heard about. It's a mood piece. It's a period piece. It's a western. It's a horror book, but it's great.
So Salem is like a fictional retelling, or it's a reimagining of what the witchcraft would have been had there been any witchcraft. You know,
it's a fictional retelling, but it's basically the idea of, suppose there really was witchcraft during that time, but it's not the poor girls who were being dunked in the lake. They were just innocent pawns, but they're a great distraction for the actual forces of witchcraft out there.
And when's that book come out?
That book comes out in the Zero issue has already come out. It came out last month. It will also be our free comic book day offering this year in May, and then the first issue comes out a week or two after in May.
So currently for DC, you're writing Brave and the Bold. So past issue 12, after the whole Magistus arc, do you have any big ideas coming up?
We were asked to sort of pull back from the big story arcs for a little while and do more done-in-ones and two-parters and stuff. The issue 13, drawn by Jerry Ordway, is Batman and Jay Garrick, because I've never seen those two characters together in a story, and that was a lot of fun. And they're versus T.O. Morrow and the Samuroids. Issues 14 and 15 is a two-parter. The first part is Dead Man and Green Arrow. And the second part is Nightwing and Hawkman, because, again, I've never seen those two characters together in a story doing anything. And those are both drawn by Scott Collins. And beyond that, no idea yet.
So you've got Jerry Ordway and Scott Collins. So are we seeing, like, a rotating team come on just for, like, an issue or two?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know that we've got anybody definitive nailed down for long term, but, you know, George left after issue 10 because he had other stuff at DC to do. Jerry was great enough to step in for 11, 12, 13, Scott on 14 and 15, and then we'll see.
Okay, so your run on The Flash when you brought Wally West back just recently ended. What was the main thing you were trying to do with that storyline with the whole family and stuff?
Well, I was just trying to fill a void that exists in the DC universe, which we don't have a family of superheroes anywhere in the DC universe. We've got a lot of solo characters and we have a lot of teams, but we don't have that sort of Fantastic Four dynamic with any of the DC characters. And I thought it might be interesting to do something with the kids. Since they existed when I took over the book, I could either have him dealing with infants all day long, which is not great comics, or we could do something to actually put them in the story. I mean, I remember when I was writing Fantastic Four, the hardest thing about that job month after month was trying to figure out what you do with Franklin and Val. What do you do with those two kids every month that takes them off stage? Instead, I thought it'd be more interesting to put them on stage.
So what made you pick their powers of the kind of Shadow Cat thing, vibrating her molecules so fast, and the increasing of mass? What made you attract to those powers?
I was just trying to find super speed powers that had nothing to do with running fast. So that made logical sense to me that they're extrapolations of the Speed Force. But the original plan was to do three or four issues with those powers, and then because we laid the groundwork early on that they're in this weird sort of pre-puberty stage and their bodies are changing, that those powers could change in the middle of a fight and suddenly they could be completely different. And maybe that's something the next team will pick up on. I don't know.
Is there anything else from DC that's coming up?
That's it for the time being. That's between that and the Boom job, that's a big part of my time.
And the new stuff with JSA, the Kingdom Come, are you enjoying what's coming out of that?
Yeah, I really am. I mean, I've Jeff Johns keeps wanting to tell me what's happening, and I want to be a spectator because I love Jeff's work, and I just want to sit back and watch what they're doing.
All right, well, Mark, it was great talking to you. I appreciate you coming down to Florida. I hope you're enjoying the weather and everything like that, and I hope to see you again next year.
All right, no problem. My pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
All right, this is day three, and I am with Jen and John of Two Monocles, correct?
Yes.
All right, now, how would you describe Two Monocles?
It's kind of a remote collaboration thing that we do because John lives in Florida and I live in Arizona. So what he does is he writes the comics and he sends me the scripts and then I do the artwork. And it's like, it's fictional but it's not, because it's stuff that like we would probably say if it were true.
It's things that I think about every day that I think would be awesome. Like being Harry Potter or getting cracked in the face by a rock band guitar.
Now, how did you two meet since you live so far apart?
We actually met on a porn site, and I am not joking about that. We met on suicidegirls.com, and that's that. We're not going to divulge too much further into that. Neither of us are porn stars. I'd like to point that out.
Yeah, that's it. Looking at the same porn.
Wow. All right, so you said it's almost like real life, but not?
It goes a little bit further beyond things that we were able to do in real life. There's a part where Jackie Chan comes down and tries to get a tux from a dead body. And the dead body, it was actually a coworker of ours, and he was crushed by a giant rock where it came out of nowhere. He won the lottery. A rock crushed him. He died. And then he got a rocket strapped to his back, and now he's in the Stratus.
And what's kind of ironic about that is that he actually used to draw the comic at first, and then we killed him off in the comic later after I started drawing.
He was okay with that. It's not like we did it out of spite, but it seemed like a good story at the time. And what's going to happen later, probably around number 50 and to 60, he's going to come back. And I won't tell you how, but he will come back.
Now, how long has this been going on? How long have you had this webcomic going?
Next month, it'll be a year. So we've been doing it for about 11 months.
April will be our year mark. I think it was like April 8th will be our year mark. So
April 4th.
I was wrong, April 4th.
All right, April 4th will be your 1 year mark, huh?
Yep.
So what are you in the comics also, or is it something you found that you like doing, or what?
It is based off me and Jen ourselves. It's our names, it's our likeness and everything. It's about our, originally was about our profession. We both work in the video game industry. We sell retail. So that's what originally started off as. And then I felt that we were kind of confined to being only about video games. And there are so many video game comics out there, PvP Online, Penny Arcade. I wanted to go beyond that.
Yeah, it's just a downward spiral of nonsense from there, but it's good. It gives us more to work with, and that we don't have to stick to it just being us behind the counter, like, complaining about customers.
I know. I want to tell you as an artist now. As an artist, what are some of your biggest influences, really?
There are artists that I like a lot, but I don't think I draw like them, or I don't aspire to draw like them. Like, I really like Evan Dorkin and Jim Mahfood, and as much as everyone hates him, I like Mike Turner.
I don't got a problem with Mike Turner either, so... All right, now as a writer, what inspires you, really?
I love Brad Neely. I fell in love with his Wizard People Dear Reader stuff. When I was first introduced to him, I fell in love with that. I just love the way that he writes sentences, because he doesn't necessarily write sentences, but they're just fragments of words that he'll make. And he's so smart about them. He just says words that you wouldn't say normally in an everyday context, and that's what I love about it.
Definitely. So webcomic is called, again, Two Monocles, correct?
TwoMonocles.com, yep.
That's on TwoMonocles.com. Thank you very much. This has been Brandon reporting for Comedy Timing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
By the way, is there anything else that you guys want to pimp out to me, or say to, this is going worldwide?
To pimp out anything else? Wheelchair Romeo, our friend Lee, has a really cool comic, and we actually link him on our site, so if you go to Two Monocles, then you can... go to Wheelchair Romeo.
This interview was for Biggie.
True that.
Okay, folks, here we are back yet again here at MegaCon for day 3. I'm actually here with Christine Bottoms.
How's it going, guys?
Not too bad. Yourself? How's the comment treating you?
It's been good. It's had its great moments, and its amazing moments, and its patronizing moments. But, you know, all in all, it's my first time out here as an actual professional artist. It's been good. It's been eye-opening.
How's business been treating you?
Well, I made over $100 more than I thought I would, but when you're starting out at zero, then, you know, you can't be disappointed.
Well, it's enough to cover the cost of the con, hopefully.
Probably not, but at least cover gas and, you know, parking and the $1,000 beverage I bought here the other day.
It's disturbing. Arm and a leg.
And they only have Pepsi. No Mountain Dew. I mean, come on. That is the nectar of God's balls right there.
See, I'm more of a Dr. Pepper fan, but I guess that might be the anime in me.
It's like 1,000 flavors in one, and it can never make... It's kind of schizophrenic for me.
What type of art do you usually specialize in?
I'm really into, like, girlness and comics. This is the art grad school speak coming out. I've been into comics forever, and being a girl, like, there's anime influences. I've actually, like, you know, I've gotten some, like, you know, legitimate deals, but mostly what I get are, like, please, you know, join my graffiti crew. And I'm like, okay, so it's a little graffiti, a little street, and, you know, very body conscious, very girl friendly, very colorful, and just comics like that. And
now you're looking both to write and draw, correct?
Yes, I've been published since I was 12, so, you know, more or less, I'm not very proud of it, but it was good. They thought it was good then, and I like making stories, and, you know, I like drawing them. I guess it's because I've always been a control freak, so.
Do you imagine yourself working for one of the big wigs, or do you want to stay independent?
I like being independent because I can call my own shots, but, you know, I'll more on that later, but, like, I wouldn't mind the paycheck, seriously. If I can, you know, make money, $30,000 a year, which I could make teaching, which I could do, you know, drawing girls in their underpants, shooting guns at things, then, you know, anybody who works in a cubicle is a moron. So, you know, and I think I'm pretty good at it, so hopefully that works out for me. But being female in the industry, I'll probably remain independent. And plus, my influences look more independent. Not as heroic and not as... As Kant would say, there's two kinds of art, two kinds of beauty. The sublime, which isn't always what most comics are, and that's the appealing, you know, so.
Well, I mean, it's possible, you know, with the Vertigos out there and the Wildstorms out there, you never know, really.
It's gotten better. Image has gotten a lot better. That's when I came of age, and I was like, ooh, Gen 13. She has streaks in her hair. That's cool. But I'm like 12, and, you know, I used to listen to New Kids on the Block when I was a kid. So, you know. Your tastes change, and, you know, you for an independent line, you were like, well, this is the same stuff they're making in all these places. What happened? And then now they got good. They got some great stories, actually, now, and some great artists to go with it, and just a wide variety of different kinds of stories, and that's what I like, so.
Now, I see that, that you've got colored work, and you've got, you know, the black and whites here. Did you do colors yourself, and is it digital, or is it by hand?
Well, it's a mixture of all of those. I'm a mixed media artist. You know, I do everything. But when Photoshop came out, I was really excited because I had no idea how to put a comic book together. I have no idea how to draft, like, layouts or panels, but because I'm used to just drawing little bits and collaging them together. But what's interesting is that, you know, there's going to be a whole generation of artists that do this. So Photoshop is so prevalent right now, and all these other digital, you know, software and tools that, you know, you can really self-teach yourself how to do these things and just play around. And, you know, it just gets better. And every time you talk to somebody, they learn something else. So it's a mixture of digital. There's some digital photography that is integrated beautifully in it, but you can't, you know. And it comes from, like, my background as a mixed media artist. And
great, excellent. You have a website out there for anybody?
No, but if you are interested in finding out things, you can always email me at AQAG.com or AQAG@AOL.com. Sorry. I'm a little cracked out. It's been a long weekend. And that's my personal email address. That's Aqua Girl. I could talk to the fishes, bitch. Again, that's Aqua G. AQA@AOL.com.
Excellent. Well, thanks for taking some time out of your drawing here to talk to us.
Oh, no. Thanks for the interview. I will work for exposure.
All right, well, hopefully a little bit more here left in MegaCon before we head on out, and back to New York we go. All right, take care.
All right, and I'm live on day 3 with Mr. Greg Horn. How you doing, Greg?
Hi, how are you?
All right, now, Greg Horn, as you know, is a very gifted color artist. What books have you done so far?
Well, right now I'm working on Miss Marvel, and I'm working on Marvel.com's Who Do You Trust campaign with the, the hybrid Skrulls. And before that, I worked on Emma Frost and Elektra.
Now, your artwork is photorealistic. Now, how do you get that quality of your artwork?
Well, my background is airbrushing, so that was always my goal when I was doing art. You know, ever since I started, I've been trying to do a realistic style. So now I do the artwork, I pencil it, and then I scan it into a computer and I do an airbrushing technique on computer.
You're a digital artist then, I suppose, really?
Yes.
How do you think that has it really improved your timing for your books, or has it just brought it to another level?
At first I thought it would increase my timing, but sometimes when you've increased your timing, you find yourself doing other things, and then you end up losing that time. So I would say that the computer has helped me put more detail into my work. I wouldn't say it has made things faster. You're always finding a new way to punish yourself with a computer.
You've been thinking on all 3 days, right?
Oh, yeah.
What are some of the weirdest things you've seen so far?
I've seen a lot of weird things. The weirdest thing I've seen is there's a lot of people walking by, and I can't tell if they're a man or a woman.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Pretty much since we're at MegaCon. MegaCon is almost like a half anime con, half comic book con. Do you think that your art has been inspired by any of the anime influences or manga influences?
No, I can't say that I have many anime influences. I have read a few of the books, and I like the way that they portray action with the their inking techniques. But since I'm doing mostly paintings now, I don't get into a lot of inking, so...
Will we ever see you on an interior of a book, or just mainly covers?
Well, right now, my workload is such that I'm unable to do any interior projects, but definitely in the future. It's something I want to do. I just... right now, I just don't have the time.
What would be your ideal dream job for a comic book? Either, like, a favorite character, or just a job that you know would be, like, bank?
That's pretty tough. You'll have to get back to me on that. I mean, right now I'm doing the Secret Invasion stuff, you know, the Who Do You Trust, and that's a pretty cool job. It's getting a lot of publicity, and I get to draw a variety of different characters, but I'm not really drawing them. I'm drawing the Skrull versions, so it's been good, though.
Overall, last question here. What is your favorite character to draw, just out of everybody?
That's another tough question. I really enjoyed doing the Elektra books. And I also enjoyed doing the Emma Frost covers. They're two different characters. They have two totally different attitudes. You're taking a totally different approach when you're working on either one. So I'd give those two a tie.
Well, thank you, Mr. Horn. It's been great talking to you.
Great talking to you.
Once again, this is Brandon Christopher for Comic Timing.
Okay, folks, I'm pretty sure that we lost maybe like the first 2 minutes or so of Brandon's interview here. So let me actually intro this for him. Brandon was lucky enough to get an interview with Jimmy Palmiotti, so here is Brandon with Jimmy himself. And goddamn it, where is my wallet?
So what's coming down the pipeline for you?
Well, more Jonah Hex, wrapping up the Freedom Fighters series for DC, and finishing up the Doc Walloper for Virgin Comics, which I'm writing with Ed Burns, and more Painkiller Jane from Dynamite Comics, and a couple of video game announcements coming soon.
The DC MMO, possibly?
It's a separate thing. It's a separate thing. I can't talk to them about them yet, but eventually I will be able to. You have to sign those non-disclosure clauses, so, you know.
All right, so you're one of the few artists who still straddle between Marvel and DC. How does that make you feel?
Well, you know, right now, actually, I'm on a DC exclusive, but that ends up soon. I like to work for everybody. I think both companies have great characters, and... you know, if there's something I feel is interesting to write and I can get away with it, I'll work anywhere. You know, pretty easy.
Now, you also renew a lot of old characters, things like Heroes for Hire, Jonah Hex, Freedom Fighters, also. How do you revitalize something that like that?
Well, I think it has to start with a love of the characters, which I have. And then you take the sensibilities of what people are reading now and you try to apply them to the character. The classic core of the character is always there. And you don't want to change that because that's why people fell in love with it. But I think you treat it with respect, and you go in and you try to modernize certain things around it, and then try to fully understand what is it about these characters that people fell in love with and hold on to that.
That makes a lot of sense also. Is there anything that you want to do, like a dream job coming up soon or no?
Probably dream job, as always, is just to do my own characters and have the opportunity to do them. And unfortunately, that gets harder and harder with most of the big two companies grabbing all the sales. But I have some down the pipeline that I'm going to do, and we'll see how that goes.
Well, Mr. Palmiotti, thank you very much, sir.
Pleasure, man. Always a pleasure.
All right, New York Comic Con, what am I talking about? MegaCon, yeah, thank you very much. MegaCon Day 3, I'm ahead of myself already. And we're actually finishing off here. The day is winding down. We're here with Comic Geek Speak. Obviously, Brian Deemer and Pants and Murd and Peter's over there, but he's schmoozing, so we'll maybe talk to him later. But started off with you, Brian. How's the weekend been treating you, and any surprises along the way?
Oh, the weekend has been wonderful. And the biggest surprise is all the beautiful women that are at MegaCon. There are more here than I've ever seen at any convention. That is a wonderful thing, Ian. It really helps the time go by. And, you know, I don't even care about comics anymore. I'm all about anime now and all about schoolgirl outfits. And, comics now is now going to be anime now.
Okay.
And glomping, yes. Yes, we learned about Pocky and glomping.
Oh, and Yuri and Yaoi.
And, well, we knew about that, yes. Yeah. But this has been a learning experience, for sure. Oh!
And there's Peter Rios with the glom. Right?
And, yeah, it's great. That was good, Murph. That was really good. It is a little stubby. So, no, it's been a lot of fun. Yeah. And the battles, the barbarian battles across the way has been vastly entertaining. We have wonderful booth mates next door here. They've been very kind in explaining a lot of what the hell's going on around us. We'd be lost without them. So it's wonderful. Great show.
Now, Pants, I know that one of your missions here was to get as many signatures as possible on some of your art. How's that coming so far? And did you get everything you were looking for?
I did pretty well. I got Drew Geraci, who's an inker on 52, and I gave him 33 pages to sign, so that was kind of cool. I got a couple of sketches of Silver Age Batwoman, a couple of new guys. Travis Earl was one of the guys. You guys turned me on to him, so I got a sketch of him.
Turned and on by Travis?
No.
I'm sure he's going to enjoy hearing that.
No. And got a couple of original art pages. I got a Mike Norton page inked by Jose. I'm drawing a blank now. Thank you, Junior. Metamorpho Year One, and a couple of Why the Last Man pages. So I did the comic buying. Then Brian did not take part in.
And way too many bought by me. So I feel your pain on that one.
Yeah, and I got a couple of Silver Age books too. A couple of early Blue Beetles and Superman. So it's not just about anime. There is comics here. There is original art here. There's artists here. Upcoming artists, you know, who you do sketches for, you know, 10, 15 bucks, and it's gorgeous stuff. So they need our attention and our love.
That's really what these cons are all about. You know, finding people that you would have never met otherwise and getting amazing stuff for such little prices as opposed to, like, the $150 sketch from a guy that's like, I'm in the business. I don't really need to put that much effort into it. You know all about that, obviously.
No comment.
Any names you care to drop?
No, I'm done name dropping now.
Look out.
But no, you're right. I mean, there's a good mix of everything here. I mean, there are still a lot of artists here, a lot of creators, a lot of comics, a lot of, you know, just good stuff. A lot of big mixer. So it's kind of a new con for us, so that's pretty good. What do you got there, Rafe?
I got a Phoenix colored by Maury Halliwell. Looks pretty good.
Ooh. Yeah, that does actually look quite nifty right there.
Fire.
Fire, fire, burn, fire, fire.
Fire.
And while Murt is burning, how did your weekend go?
Well, it's a little overwhelming, all this stuff going on around here. It's absolutely unlike any con I've ever seen or imagined. I think Pants has already said everything I could have said. You know, there's the superhero stuff, but there's also a very healthy percentage of the manga anime kind of stuff, which is great. And I love all the costumes. It's a veritable pageant of pop culture derived finery. And yeah, I'm feeling like I've got a certain sensory overload thing going here, like a little numb. Yes.
Explosions of the mind.
Yes, sure.
That sums it up.
You buy anything interesting this weekend?
A bunch of new Kitty Pryde sketches from various people. Yeah, mostly people I had not heard of before, but, you know, like you just said, better from an enthusiastic newcomer than from some jaded professional who doesn't feel like he needs to impress anybody and is just going through the motions.
Right, exactly. Yeah, well, I agree with that. All right, well, thanks for your time, guys, and obviously hope to see everybody back here next year because I think I am going to have to make this my yearly vacation into Orlando just to swim and be able to buy comics. Not at the same time.
Sayonara.
Reaper Durchy.
Bye.
And Brent is saying, damn it, because I'm coming back next year.
Damn it.
Bye. One final outro left to go with everybody in the car at the same time before we're all back to... And, you know, I'm sure that's going to be fun.
Mr. Wade, that was Skypified.
just to let you know, Mr. Wade. Mr. Wade, we're such huge fans of you, Mr. Wade. Especially Raph. He wants to jump your bones. But
Wade, I'm sorry.
Give us Mark, please. I'm sorry, Mark. As one Pennsylvanian to another, please forgive them.
This is why I didn't even kiss you guys.
You know that I can be a professional interviewer when I can, when I want to be.
Well, this is why Raph did you. Okay.
And that's better. That's much better. Yes, yes, yes. Raph is just the enigma.
I'm sorry, Mr. Wade. Fuck you all.
I love how he ends it there. All right, first off, I want to thank everybody in this car for making this weekend so freaking awesome. I want to thank everybody else at this con for making this weekend awesome. I want to thank Brent for driving us around all damn weekend.
On that note, I want to thank your wallets for donating gas money when you stopped recording.
Oh! I love how he springs that on us, like, right as we're ending the recording. So that the world can hear it, so that we can then feel guilty if we don't hand him the money immediately after the recording is done.
After, before you get up at the airport.
You didn't know what's gonna happen, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, I gave you Joker as payment. Come on.
This is not my car. Mom's car.
All right. Fine. All right, but anyway, yeah. Let's once again.
Anime kid running down the hallways, down the field. It's amazing.
I believe, she is screaming Yuri Yowie to herself right now, I'm sure. Quiet, Raph, quiet.
And look, there's Sephiroth also. These only things I can find on the con. It's amazing.
Exactly. But let's end it off here, and one last time, I'll hand it off to Brent, because yet again, I can actually do that in person. So, all right, it's you.
The email for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. You can check us out over at www.speakgeekspeak.com/comictiming. You can check us out over on iTunes. Please dig us at dig.com. Check us out on the comicforums.com/forums, hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guy. So check us out over there and give us a holler if you like what you heard.
And we're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And since I forgot to say it the other time, the League of Comic Book Podcasters over at comicbooknoise.com/league, that is. And, yeah, one more time for the group. And as always,
there's always time for comics.
Thank you.
And the engine begins, and we are off. We'll see you guys next time.
Wow, that was a long weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Good weekend.